This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike on this July Monday. A little warm outside. Going to be warm for the week. And also like to remind listeners to like our Facebook page. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We have all of our upcoming segments on there and a little bit of trivia here and there and just some fun stuff that we do on there. We also have a Facebook page, foodforthoughtnh.com. You can get to that right from our Facebook page. So here we are. Healthy Monday.
Randy Clements, a man we met through the world of sriracha and his cookbooks, the Sriracha Cookbook and the Veggie Lover's Cookbook. He's from out in L.A. He's a blogger. He's a writer. He's a traveler. He's a chef. And he brought us something really tasty to eat today.
But
he's
all to taste it.
He's all about healthy eating. So when you would look at this initially and say, oh, cheesecake, that ain't healthy. But it is. Hi, Randy.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Do you often get people dropping in with cheesecake?
No.
No, we don't.
No, we do not. So you have just raised the bar, buddy.
You did.
The world needs more random dropping in with cheesecake, I think. So yeah. hopefully we'll inspire some listeners today.
Well, this is not just any cheesecake, though.
Yeah, no, I went a little different with this. And before we say the V word, okay. I want to say to anyone, I challenge anyone, this cheesecake will blow you away. And it's not my recipe, so I'm not trying to brag, on myself here, but it's a vegan cheesecake. It's a raw vegan cheesecake. And before you turn off your radio, it's not laden with soy or anything like that. It's basically just nuts and fruit, and a little bit of honey and some coconut oil that's mixed in. But, it's really great because, yeah, it is hot this week and it was hot this weekend and I didn't want to bake anything. So the idea of making a cheesecake, if you do it right, you're baking it in a hot water bath for an hour and a half, you know, and letting it cool and just heating up your house. So this was a no bake.
You ate yours already?
No. I just had a couple bites.
Oh, jeez.
I'm nursing it along.
I didn't see it there.
All right. So the part that would be typically the dairy part, you know, the cheese of the cheesecake, what's that made of?
Soaked cashews. So,
really?
Yeah, soaked cashews, soaked raw cashews. So they weren't roasted. And essentially, it was a cup and a half of raw cashews that I soaked for about 5 hours, just in regular tap water or filtered water, and drain them out. And they become really soft. And you can actually use soaked cashews for all kinds of vegan recipes. And it's a lot of flavor. It is a lot of fat, but it's a very healthy fat. In my mind, it's something that's, you know, it's natural. It's not processed. And really, it's surprisingly filling. So I made these little...
almost like tartlets
or
something.
They're little individual. They're cute. They're perfect size, really.
I made them in muffin tins. So I pressed the crust down. The crust is just a mix of pecans and walnuts and dates, a little bit of salt and a little bit of lemon zest. And you just put that in the food processor and grind it up and pack it down into the bottom of the muffin tins. And then I made the filling with the soaked cashews, coconut oil, honey, lemon juice, lemon zest, a little vanilla bean, and pureed that and poured it on top. And then I made left a little in the blender and put some raspberries in with it and made another layer on top of that that was nice and red, and throw it in the freezer. And you have cheesecake. No baking, no cheese, no...
Yeah.
So it's a lot of... a lot of nuts, some sugar, but all natural. There's no added refined sugar. If you don't like honey, you can use agave nectar. And I'm sure it could be adjusted also to have just some level of, Rocco was just talking about stevia and truvia. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some play that you could have there. It's not something I experimented with, but certainly something you could try.
All right. So these are very small portions, which healthy portions, as you say, out of a cupcake tin. Did you make like a dozen of them, or could you make a traditional looking cheesecake, or would it break the bank with all the cashews?
Well, yeah, yes and yes. You certainly can. So these, actually, I made some on the side in the muffin tins, but I did make one large cheesecake as well. And so you can do any shape you like, and you'll certainly have the option of doing a crustless cheesecake if you wanted. But the nice thing about these muffin tins is, yes, it's pretty dense as far as calorically, if you're someone who counts calories. But I would contend that, again, these are very natural, and it's not processed and it's raw. So to me, that's the way I like to have, you know, some of my food. I'm not someone who counts or tries to have 100% or 80% of my food raw or anything, but like when I have the option, and certainly here where it's to me, way easier than making the traditional version, like, I'm going to take this. And, I mean, you tell me, was there any flavor sacrifice at all?
Not at all.
I don't think at all, at all, no. at all.
And I like the fact that there's an equal amount of the cashew middle with the pureed raspberry top. So I'm a raspberry guy, so this made me really happy.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh,
so
this is fantastic.
Calories might be high, but again, it's very nutrient dense, and you're not missing anything on the flavor. And these store in the freezer, so you can pop one out whenever you want. And that's why the muffin tins were so convenient. And if you have like silicone muffin tins or something, you make them, pop them out, put them in a Ziploc bag, and just keep them in the freezer. Mm. It's taking up next to zero space.
Yeah.
You know, and if you are super portion control, you know, get ice cube trays, make little tiny bite size ones or something. If you're really just have that sugar, that sweet tooth, and you want something that's not going to be really bad for you, but you just want a bite, that's a perfect bite size to have.
This was outstanding.
Cool.
All right. So the important thing is we want to get the recipe on the website, if possible. If you get that to Carol when you get back home or next couple days.
Sure, I can send it today. I can
because
send it at break.
if I can have cheesecake this good all the time, I would
it's
never.
Delicious.
However, if I was to get this in a restaurant, you know, an $8 slice of cheesecake, this is going to be how much?
Oh, yeah, something like that, easy. I mean, even if you went to the Cheesecake Factory or somewhere that cranks these things out in the thousands.
I don't mean the small one that you brought us.
Oh, I gotcha.
But I mean like a wedge.
That's probably what they would charge you, a slice. I mean, you're looking at $6, $7, $8, $9 in a restaurant for something like that. And
for what you made with the cashew puree?
That's
what I'm getting at is, as good as it is, I don't know if it's commercially viable at most, like, mainstream restaurants.
I've seen things like this at, like, Whole Foods Market or things like that. So they do sell them, but yeah, you're looking at something like that would be $9, $10 for about that portion, where I really used two and a half cups of nuts. I mean, it was 1.5 cups of cashews.
That's
and
a lot.
And then a cup. It is, but it makes a lot.
That's
so,
what it reduces to, though?
Politics.
Oh, well, you actually made a dozen or so, right?
Yeah, and when you soak the cashews, they actually, you know, go up in size. Yeah. Coconut oil, you can actually get really cheap at Market Basket. I've found some great virgin cold-pressed coconut oil for like $6. Carrington Farms, I think, was the brand, but
okay.
I bought a couple in it, as if it was on sale, but I looked at it, and it said it's the everyday low price. So.
Wow.
You know, it's just knowing where to look. I looked at a couple other markets and I haven't found a better price for coconut oil yet, so definitely worth checking out.
So you're new to the area. You've never heard of Market Basket, or if you did, you didn't experience it until you moved here. What are your thoughts on it? Because last summer at this time, there was an amazing work stoppage action going on to protest the removal of one of the CEOs that, of course, has since been reversed. So you're the second person in the last week that made really good comments about finding stuff at Market Basket that maybe they didn't think would be there.
And I'm kind of finding out about that, the work stoppage last year, too, just in bits and pieces. I was hearing a little bit about it. And I've been really surprised at what I found there. Just there's a whole row of produce that I've never heard of that, you know, seems to be serving the sort of Caribbean constituency that's here and Western African and Nepalese. And there's just a number
there
of items.
They have like crazy stuff. They really do. I mean, when you go up and down their aisles, there's a lot of different types of thing, you know, Asian and, you know, all kinds.
Yeah, and a bottle of sriracha from Thailand, a brand called Shark Brand that I really like, that I had to drive more than an hour to find in Los Angeles.
Said that.
Yeah,
no
so
way.
And so now I can find it, you know, 5 minutes from where I live, which was really interesting. But I've been really pleased with that store and with A Market as well. And I went down to the Alibaba Whole Foods. And
what did you think of that?
I think it's a neat store. I really like a lot of their items. Produce looked a little not so fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of it, but some of the greens, the things I want really fresh, looked a little, you know. And I guess is that a problem of supply and demand? You know, which
exactly.
So you got to have rotation to keep it fresh. So I don't know.
I'm
what.
I'm surprised they still have it because I noticed that when they first opened.
Okay.
You know, I was always like, is this going to make it or not make it? And they probably should not do it so they can do better with their other things. You know,
because
I think that they do well with the other things.
Yeah, I've been in there several times.
See all their olive oils?
They've got great stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like a lot of the products, if you like raw food, if you're interested in raw food, they have a bunch of great packaged items that are still kept raw. A lot of desserts are actually very convenient and easy to make, you know, because granola-based kind of things where you're using dried fruit and dried nuts, they lend themselves very well to packaged goods. So you can find a good number of those things there.
Another guest we had on last week, I can't put my finger on who it was. It was Una Williams, our expert
gluten-free.
Thank you. And lactose intolerance. And she's pretty much a nationally known speaker. She was pleased going into Market Basket to find a lot more wild caught fish versus farm raised.
Yep.
And that hadn't always been the case. And I'm sure it depends on what week it is and what's available. But so I think they're trying, for being a really big store, to place some quality ingredients and something different for all nationalities. You mentioned Nepalese here a moment ago. A friend of ours and one of the founders of the Hippo, you've probably seen the Hippo magazine, Dan Sesney is in here. He married a woman from Nepal, and he's joining us tomorrow to talk about Nepalese cuisine.
Cool. I'll have to tune in.
Need to tune in. He'll be at 1 o'clock.
Three times now I hear Nepalese food. Yeah. Did you hear of Momo Cafe?
No.
Oh.
But I just drove by. There's the... What is it? That there's a little Nepalese market I keep driving by on Lake, I think, and I haven't yet stopped in.
I don't know about that market.
Yeah, I keep seeing it.
But there's Momo Cafe that has Nepalese food, and it's up on Hanover Street, way up by the highway.
Okay.
That way.
Cool. Yeah. I'll have to try it.
Yeah, and they've been around for quite a while, and I hear very, very good things about it. So, and I just heard about it like 2-3 days ago. Kind of strange. I never hear about Nepalese
We're going to hear plenty tomorrow from Dan Sesney, who's a travel writer, one of the three founders of the Hippo Press. He also has a number of other books, and he's going to be writing an interesting New Hampshire-focused cookbook, although I don't know if he's prepared to talk about that yet. He told me about it a couple of months ago, and if he decides he doesn't have time, then I'll jump in and do it, because you don't have to be an expert or, a trained chef. This is something that I could take on, but he'll do a great job with it. So, if you have a chance to listen tomorrow, he's a really interesting guy.
Cool.
And has a young daughter about 6 months old with he and his wife. So interesting guy. All right. So here we are. We're getting into the best time of the year for vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Do you keep an eye on what's happening, what's fresh, what's available as you do your cooking at home?
I certainly try to. I'm finding farmers markets here and things like the Thursday farmers market. I'm looking forward to going to this week. Actually, every other week it hasn't worked out. So I know it just started, but looking forward to going. And that tends to be how I shop. My girlfriend had asked what I was going to be getting at the store, and I don't know. So I kind of go in and see what's fresh and what looks great and what looks to be in season. And certainly at farmers markets, everything that's there is what's in season. But there's also some really great community market day that I found. I've told you before I moved here. Because of a group called the Free State Project, and some volunteers within that have actually set up a small co-op for members. But they also have a community market day every other Sunday, and it varies in location. But there's one coming up this Sunday that's open to anybody. Anyone's welcome to come by. It's on 34 West Street in Manchester, so just on the west side of Manchester, and big backyard. Families hang out there, and just a couple people come and sell eggs from their chickens. Got some great red Russian kale a few weeks ago, all organically grown. Some people are selling chickens as well as eggs. And so that's been really neat, because it's supporting people who I'm getting to meet here, and nothing beats farm fresh eggs, I'll tell you that right now. So
they are. It's a big difference
when you
eat those. And a few weeks back I was at one of the flower shops, and they had fresh eggs, but he had a dozen left of duck eggs.
Yeah.
And that was so
I've never cooked or baked
good.
Or anything with duck eggs.
They're pretty cool, and you can get a really deep orange color in those
yolks. That is the thing. The orange, you know what I did too, and I hadn't eaten lunch. It was probably around 1:30. I was starving. And I went home and I made two over easy eggs in the pan and with duck eggs, and the yolk was so orange. It was beautiful. I mean, it was so nice, and the white around it was just a really nice egg.
Wow.
It was delicious.
Are they larger than
typical
chicken eggs? So
yeah.
You get more bang for the buck. Probably more expensive too, I would guess.
Yes.
They
and
are.
Someone was selling goose eggs at some point, and I bought one. I'd never cooked one of those, but man, I had to get out my big like 10-inch cast iron skillet for one egg. It's a big egg.
Yeah.
The yolk must have been huge too.
Yeah.
Oh my.
I spent a little time with Todd English a couple years ago for a magazine piece at his restaurant at Mohican Sun, and he came walking out of the kitchen with an emu egg.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I mean, it's like a grapefruit. I mean, it's massive. Ever see one of those? No, I have not, Chef.
Wow.
I can only imagine what those must cost.
Me too.
They don't grow. Well, you know, I think we have emus here in New Hampshire.
I think we do.
You could probably
see them at the
locally
fairs.
Source. Yeah. And some farms, you know, they have llamas and everything else. So you might be able to pick up a little emu action.
Oh, I know Bardo Farms up north has, I've seen them selling emu oil, like to apply to your skin for.
Really?
Yeah, there's a whole number of benefits it's purported to have. I'm not entirely familiar with it, but I've seen it in a couple preparations, and I know they've sell some. So I'm not sure if they have eggs as well, but I would think so.
Well, so in your time here in New Hampshire, you moved here for any number of reasons. Is your scratch being itched in terms of the number of things you can source? You have to maybe look a little harder for them?
No, I've been really thrilled. You know, I'm sure Amazon helps, but I haven't had to order too much from them. One of my happiest things that I've stumbled upon here was Dancing Lion Chocolates.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
up the street here.
Right here on Elm. Oh, that's dangerous. I've traveled pretty far and wide. I still got plenty of places I would love to go, and I've had some really good chocolate. They're doing some incredible things over there. Yeah, so that hasn't been a problem one bit for me so far. And like I said, I'd much rather do it the other way around, where I go into something not knowing what I'm going to make, but being inspired by what I find at the market that looks fresh and exciting that day.
So your Rolodex in your brain is working while you're looking at the available produce.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, sometimes I'll go in with a certain thing in mind and, might change it up a little from where I originally planned. It's pretty rare, though, that I go in with like a defined recipe that, you know, I need these items explicitly, except it with baking, you know, that's a little bit different, but
right.
So,
well, anytime you need to, try some more experimental cheesecake, vegan cheesecake, you got an open door here.
Great. I appreciate it. And talking with eggs, did you want to talk about a little vegan meringue quickly?
Yeah, let's do that. We have a couple minutes, and we're going to move on shortly to somebody I want you to meet, Steve Freeman from Manchester Food Co-op. I think you guys would be a good connection for each other. So we talked about making meringue a couple weeks ago, the traditional way with egg whites and sugar and all that stuff, and you dropped on us the most unexpected substance that we could use to make something just as good.
Yeah, it's called aquafaba. That's what they've called it. And it's sort of a loose translation of...
I don't think you had that name.
Bean water, yeah. And it's that... I can make it sound gross. That nasty stuff you usually pour out when you open a can of kidney beans or garbanzo beans.
Right.
That sludge, that slime, is actually... It's just water and protein and salt that's from left over from the cooking process. And it's kind of gooey. But they've actually somehow discovered through... Because people have been, since the dawn of veganism, people have been trying to make all these things that eggs normally do, but it's been incredibly tough. But someone, by some strange chance, discovered that this brine that's left that you normally drain out can actually be whipped into meringue. So from one can of like one 15 ounce can of chickpeas, you could drain out that liquid and put it in a mixer and start whipping it around and put in a half cup of sugar, and it will actually whip all the way to stiff peaks if you were trying to make a meringue. And you could use it just like meringue, and guess what, it doesn't taste like beans. So just in the way that we just had cheesecake,
I get to try it.
There's no bean flavor. With like black beans or kidney beans, you're going to get some bean flavor, but chickpeas and like Great Northern beans, white beans, pretty safe. And actually you can also, so if you wanted to make it into a meringue, like a baked meringue, you can, it'll torch the same. And if you wanted to use like a liquid sweetener instead, if you use like agave or honey, it actually would make more of a marshmallow fluff. So you can make fluffer nutter sandwiches, and yeah, so texture wise it's the exact same, and flavor wise it's the exact same. There's not really a flavor, as it's very much a texture thing, and it's really kind of taken the vegan world by storm, just because there's this now this replacer for egg whites for making a meringue. You can still use the same stabilizer if you wanted a little bit of extra protection. There's like cream of tartar or like a guar gum or something if you wanted to add a little bit just for extra boost, but really you can just do it with that brine and this and a little bit of sugar.
Do I need to chill the mixing bowl like I would with a dairy version?
It's gonna help. It'll definitely help it keep the foam. It'll go a little bit faster if you do throw the bowl in the freezer for a little bit. But and also just this is something you can think of as just whipped egg whites too for any sort of baking recipe.
Oh,
so if
right.
you're making brownies or cookies that you work trying to get light and fluffy where you're supposed to whip up eggs beforehand, a lot of times there's these egg replacers that are flax based or something else, and they do the same job as far as binding water mm-hmm. and oil, but they don't add that same volume necessarily. So this actually provides a really nice way to make vegan baked goods a little lighter than usual.
I've had black bean brownies, which
yeah.
are tremendous. And
yes.
so I could, even though you say there might be a bit more of a bean flavor in the darker beans to use as the binder there, you could you'd use everything in that can.
That'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
That'd be really interesting. And actually, with that too, using the whole can, a cool thing to do with a can of chickpeas is to mm-hmm. pour that out with the liquid and blend it up just a little bit and scramble it like eggs. It actually makes a really good breakfast burrito filling. It's all protein.
I love it.
But yeah, flavor it and season it just like you would eggs for a breakfast burrito,
right.
but it's chickpeas and the right. delicious, the now delicious slime in the can.
That's why we love this guy.
We've upcycled it.
Yeah. Upcycled it. Very
yeah.
good. Well, what will you amaze us with 2 weeks from today? No pressure.
I don't know. I got tough shoes to fill after that cheesecake. I was really impressed
yeah.
with that. So I wish it was my
very,
recipe.
Very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
Can I have your plastic to lick before you go?
I already did.
Oh. Randy Clements, the Sriracha cookbook guy and chef, world traveler, blogger, writer, and now New Hampshire resident. Glad to have you again today.
Thanks so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Very good.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. And when we come back, we're going to have Steve Freeman in the house. Wake the health up, America.
Woo-hoo.
We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7. The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. And it is Healthy Monday. We just had a great segment with Randy Clemens, the author of two Sriracha cookbooks, and he's quite interesting. And that cheesecake was amazing.
Yeah, and it was vegan, and don't, as he said, don't let it scare you away. There's not tofu or anything that people might.
Well, it's true because you know the minute you say
barrier
vegan,
up for, yeah,
they kind of like you know,
yeah.
like you said before, I say the V word, have
yeah.
a taste of it first.
Yeah,
so.
Try it first, and
yeah.
Then make your decision. But all the things in there were of vegan ingredients and that a vegan could eat. Yeah.
yeah.
So and so he'll bring. I have a feeling he'll be bringing us more good stuff like that.
I think so.
So it's
that'll
be it's
cool.
extending our familiarity with some foods that perhaps we hadn't tried
That's
and
right.
healthier.
Well, when Tyler graduated 2 years ago from high school, we had a celebration after at the house, and he was a vegan then. So
mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm going to get a cake, he's
right.
got to. I mean, I got to get him a cake that he can eat. So there was, I can't remember the name of the vegan place that it was in Concord. Indigo, Cafe Indigo, I think is what it was.
Hmm.
But it has since closed. And
the Concord Co-op took it into
yes,
theirs and they operate it now.
Oh. And my son knows that.
Another reason to support your local co-ops.
Yes, for sure.
As if we needed another one, right?
So it is Cafe Indigo, right, Steve?
I think it's still called Cafe
yeah.
Indigo, but it's sort of branded as the Concord Co-op's Cafe now.
Right. And
yes.
I, from what I understand, they have a lot of commercial accounts that they stopped doing like the public coming in, and now they just do, they send it out commercially, like across the United States.
I'm not working that closely with them to know their operation.
I'm
aware that they saw the opportunity to bring that product line
yep.
into the co-op.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I had gotten, they do, vegan stuff. I mean, and the vegan stuff is so good. I mean, oh my gosh, I loved it. And I got a vegan carrot cake. Didn't tell anybody. Didn't say anything. I just
right.
said, this is Tyler's favorite cake. And I didn't say anything until after, and people were totally blown away. Like, just they've gotten awards on their carrot cake. You got to try it next time you're at the Concord Co-op.
I believe I have years ago at Indigo.
Yeah, it's delicious. Like, you would never. Hmm. It's the best carrot cake you've ever had. It's a good
transition to introduce Steve Freeman with the Manchester Food Co-op, who's been an every other week a Monday guest now, and we're happy to have you on Healthy Mondays. You got to meet Randy today. Your time's kind of actually passed, which typically isn't always the case. So, he's somebody that perhaps you could recruit to some degree, because there's a lot of like-mindedness, I think.
There is.
From
we
what
said
I heard,
that right
sounds
away
great. Yeah.
With either of you. Yes.
Yep.
So, Steve Freeman, wake the health up, America. What do you have on tap for us this week?
Well, talk a little bit, as usual, about why co-op, why local, and what's coming out of the ground today, which is just about everything is coming out of the ground today at the local farmers market. And then another topic to talk about is what they're starting to say about climate change, whether you believe it or not, how it's going to be robbing our food of nutrition. So an apple today and its nutrients, or an orange or a steak even, in 20 years, because of the lack of carbon dioxide in the climate, is going to be, we're going to be needing to eat more food to get our nutrient balance.
And we're already dealing with some mineral and vitamin deficiencies based on the way that some of the land is being fertilized as
Correct.
Well, right?
Correct. It's being robbed of its nutrients. Mm-hmm.
Having nothing to do with climate change. That's just been happening.
It's, you know, that's the industrial agriculture part, which, again, I think we all take it for granted. But when you the way the land has been farmed for since the earth started rotating, I guess, is crop rotation. You rotated the soil, and the dead corn stalks from this fall got put into compost and fertilized the soils. Well, now that's not being done. Everything's being clear cut and fertilized and treated. So the soil, the breadbasket of America, as it's called, the Middle Valley, Ohio, those areas, they used to have about 8 feet or 9 feet of topsoil, which is the loam you consider outside your front lawn. It's down to like 2 feet now, and it doesn't regenerate. It regenerates by adding compost to it. Well, the bleak future, the bleak outlook of that is there's not going to be any topsoil. Without topsoil, you can't grow. So it's really kind of scary in that respect. I'm not an expert on that. I've just read about it enough to know that the Dust Bowl syndrome is going to disappear because there's going to be no more topsoil to create a Dust Bowl with. And that's a result, again, of over chemicals, over fertilization.
And, of course, the West Coast, California in particular, at drastically low reservoirs of water, which also will affect agriculture, which relies so heavily under the, you know, the canals and the aquifers and the sprinkling and all that. And, big problem there.
And we're going to be paying for it with our winter produce for sure. Absolutely.
The only upside of that is because of the lack of rain, apparently it's going to be a good crop of grapes this year in wine country. So,
oh, well, that's a good sign.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you got to find something positive in all the
bad
news. No
wine drought.
No.
There's always a good side to it, isn't there? And I think that I've already seen that the farmers are responding and they're learning how to live with less water, which is really not easy because water is a very sacred element to farming. But they're figuring out alternate methods when they can't rely on water, which is really remarkable.
Yeah, and they have all this turn your neighbor in stuff in communities in California. If you see somebody watering their lawns, which in some places you're not supposed to do, you just drop a dime and the watering police will come over and issue a summons or something.
And I just read this article last week. Brilliant guy, young kid, created a business out of using organic matter to create a green paint that is safe for pets to play on your lawn, and you can paint your lawn because all the lawns are turning brown right now because of the drought. So this guy's making millions spray painting lawns with a very eco-friendly paint, and he takes before and after pictures. I'm like, I'd rather do that than water my lawn anyway.
So that is so cool.
He's painting lawns green, and everybody has pride that they want a green lawn, but if you can't water your lawn out in California,
it ain't gonna be green.
It's gonna be brown in 2 days, 3 days.
Wow.
So he's created
That's
this
brilliant.
Business. I think it's brilliant. It's gangbusters. He's doing great. And I think we could do that business out here. So, listeners.
Well, we're very lucky, though, that in this part of the country, water is not really an issue. And since we do want to eat locally and get the local crops and vegetables, let's find out what is coming up now and what to do with them.
Geez, where do we start? All kinds of lettuces and greens, which are always always my favorite, are seasonal salads, if you will. The lettuces, the baby lettuces, the baby spinach, the wild spring mix, kales, cabbage, all those awesome greens, and just buy any of them, wash them. I always like to wash them. I think water kind of crisp up the greens just before you use them. Don't wash them and then put them all in the fridge for a time. Wash them as you're about to use them, and eat them. Make a salad with them. Tomatoes are here right now.
They're beautiful.
Cucumbers, radishes, beets, scallions, wild onions, ramps, garlic scapes. You got probably another week or two. I've seen some at the farmer's market. These things are so beautiful. A bulb of garlic, you know, the size of a tangerine, with a stalk that looks like scallion, 6-7 feet high. And you just take it to where it gets stiff. Cut it. You eat the scape, which is like a scallion. You saute it, chop it up, put it in a salad. Then the rest of it is the hard sort of wooden stalk that it grows on. Cut that, and then you have a fresh bulb of garlic at the bottom of it. And garlic, let's talk about garlic. Fresh garlic, fresh local garlic. You've not had garlic that tasted so sweet and so wonderful. Most of the garlic we get from California that we're eating right now
Gilroy,
in July.
Gilroy, California is the big garlic
Gilroy,
thing.
Gilroy also, Garlic Festival.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's also right next to where Lamborghinis are imported. I remember reading that at some strange connection. But the garlic we're eating right now from California was probably harvested in February. Maybe April. The garlic you're eating at the farmer's market was harvested the day before. It's just, it's an amazing difference. The garlic is really, it's really rock hard. It's firm. It's juicy. You cut into it. Liquid falls out of it. You never get that when you buy garlic at the store, whether it's organic or whatever you want to call it. So seek out some fresh local garlic. Cut a piece in half, rub it on bread, grill the bread, toast it up for some, you know, some grilled bread with your salad at dinner, or saute it with any of these greens that are coming out of the ground.
Hey, garlic, as far as I'm concerned, goes in everything.
Just about everything.
I love garlic.
Under your pillow when you sleep, whatever you want. Because my dentist is very sensitive to onions and garlic. He always says, you eat a lot of garlic, don't you? I'm like, yeah, I try to eat it daily, and it comes out of my
pores.
Well,
that was subtle, doctor. Wow.
So I always make sure to eat a heavy, heavy load of garlic and onion the day before my dentist appointment.
Well, I don't think you've had any today. At least I'm not sensing it.
No, I didn't have any this weekend, but I do have a couple of fresh bulbs that I'm going to be using this week.
Nice.
And they're just really amazing because they stay, you know, firm and rock hard for a couple of weeks when they're that fresh, and the paper doesn't peel apart like you see. You know, you see the garlic at the grocery store, it's a pile of paper.
Yeah.
It's because it's weeks or months old. It's, you know, it's the nutritional value that you think you're getting out of garlic because garlic is healthy. Well, what you're getting at the store is a fraction of what was tested in the laboratory or the testing agency, wherever it is. It's another reason why to just buy fresh and local whenever you can. The nutrient quality of fresh local food, you can't compare to anything out there. What you get from something that came out of the ground yesterday that was grown to be grown for flavor and taste, not grown for shipping and packing and handling.
I've never bought local garlic that I can recall.
I haven't either.
Shame on me.
And you know, and I am so bad when I buy garlic too. I have to buy the peeled one. I hate peeling garlic.
Oh, that's in the little jars, you mean?
Yeah. Well,
no,
not in the jars. No. Well, it's in like a little plastic thing. It's in the produce, and they...
Okay.
It's all peeled. It just comes all whole cloves, all peeled.
I have shame those. On you. Shame.
I know. Shame. Isn't that bad?
Because well, it's treated with something when it's peeled. I don't TBHQ or whatever it's called. It's if you ask a chef, I learned this when I was a brief stint as a chef. There's the only thing that is garlic that you crack and peel to that night for serving. Because if not, it becomes very weak. And that chopped garlic that you buy at the store, people say, here, do you want this? I said, yeah, I'll take that and throw it away. Because it's not garlic. It's totally changed its chemical makeup because it's been chopped and put into a solution of something that I don't know what the chemical is. I don't buy it. I make one exception. If I'm catering for 100 people, I'm not going to spend 3 hours peeling garlic. I'm going to buy a jar of peeled garlic, but that's the only exception. But that goes to another point where it's convenient, it's easy. You will use it more because it's in your refrigerator, it's peeled, it's chopped, whatever, you grab a few. So it's still good that you're getting it into your diet, but you don't realize what's not labeled on that product is not something you would go out and buy. Can I get a bottle of,
lighter fluid or
lighter,
something.
Yeah, sure. Can I have some lighter fluid with that garlic, please, just in case I want some tonight? And those are things... you know, we could talk about that. The DARC Act just passed Congress, which is really, really quite.
Let's hold that thought for a second here.
Okay,
that's
okay,
because
we
want to take a break. That's a good point to break and then come back. I've heard about that as well.
Well, I haven't heard about that, so I'm anxious. You're listening to Food for Thought. We are in studio with Steve Freeman. Wake up, wake the health up, America. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7. The Pulse.
Well, there it's 1:49 on The Pulse. Food for Thought. Carol Lawrence and Mike Moore in 107.7 WTPL. Sponsored by the Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and Londonderry. And by New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought. NewEnglandCoffee.com. Steve Freeman is here. He is speaking on behalf of the Manchester Food Co-op and is a regular on the show now. And we're very happy because as... As we get closer over the next year or two, the actual business will be open. I know there's a lot behind the scenes that you can't share with us. Is there anything you can tell us about the latest developments in getting this off the ground?
I can share with you that the board of directors works tirelessly to get this store open. I did send out, chairing up the committee for land and site acquisition, and we have sent back our second letter of intent, which is a document that allows us to lay down the foundation for getting into a lease contract with, right now we call it our super site. It's our chosen site. And so we should get a response probably by the end of the week, and then it goes back and forth a few more times, hopefully. So if that document comes to fruition, we should be able to announce our site location before right around the time the leaves turn is where we think it's going to fall into place. Then we have a tremendous amount of fast action work to do to get financing in place, get a store manager, design the store, get it built. All those,
and that's part of what you do, right? You're in the design phase of it for the most part.
Preliminary design. Right now, we kind of know what size store we're looking for based on the numbers we think we can raise within our community, and then we'll design it with grocery store experts, cooperative development teams, etc. I will just sort of be the spokesperson for the board as a whole to make sure our vision and our mission is incorporated into the design of the store.
Okay, cool. We have just thank you for that update. With about 5 minutes left, you kind of led us into the break talking about a Congress act that was passed. Is it the DARK Act?
DARK, Deny Americans the Right to Know. Sounds great, doesn't
nice,
it?
Nice, huh?
Yeah. So it's basically an effort by big agriculture to not inform you the source of your foods, which opens up our market more so globally so that we can get really second quality, third quality meats from China and places we've never bought meats or proteins from before. But it also denies Americans the ability to know whether the food in the container they're buying or at the produce section was grown naturally or organically, or whether it has genetically modified organisms in it. And so GMOs, it's a catch word today. My hero, Neil Young, just released an entire record called The Monsanto Years, all about what has happened to farming in America. We're being so swashbuckled by big agriculture that in a few years we won't even be eating food, and we won't be able to know that because they've passed legislation to avoid us from getting to know this. So essentially, the labeling you see on packaging today is about as far as the industry wants it to go. They don't want you to know where it came from, whether the beef you're getting is from, you know, the Midwest or from Australia or from China or wherever it is. And I don't think it's good for the future of our food system. Vermont is still moving forward with an anti-GMO law. Neil Young just gave the state or the organization $100,000 to keep fighting that fight. And I think I heard Texas just piped up and said, we're not accepting this act of Congress. We're petitioning against it. We want to, especially Texas has a lot of ranches. They want you to know you're buying Texas beef.
The
beef organization.
Well, what about the fishing industry of New England? Because they would love to have their food packaging say came from New England or came from specific state, even a specific producer or fishing company. Whereas we're getting all this stuff from Thailand and other places where there's very little control.
Very little. And I don't know how. I think there's only like six federal inspectors that inspect 8 tons of food a day. I just don't know how the math adds up.
They probably don't eat it because they know what's in it.
So, you know, the name of the show is appropriate. Wake the health up, America. Get up and speak up. This is our food system being hijacked by a couple of big industry giants to keep us in the dark about what we're really eating. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of boycotting. I'm a fan of diverting my energy into a more positive solution. So you won't see me picketing and holding a sign that says boycott Monsanto. So I don't buy their products. I just make it an act to buy local. That's my lifestyle. So that's one way is to continue to support your farmers market and your cooperative grocery stores and your local grocery stores and your local companies like the Red Arrow, who are small local owned businesses. And send a message to your elected officials that this is unacceptable, that our food system is being hijacked. It's a dark day in America to know that this has passed, and it passed like 300-120 or like 3-1 basically.
Wow.
And, you know, those 3-1 senators, I guarantee,
have an
the
interest,
paperwork.
Probably.
They have an interest in Monsanto, and half of Monsanto is on the FDA. It's just, Yeah.
Well, it's
tough.
The whole lobbying thing is bothersome sometimes.
Sure.
Because you know that a huge amount of pressure is exercised where money is hidden behind the stones in these other places to get the kind of legislation that you talked about passed.
And I think what's on a personal level, you know, 10 years ago, I thought nothing of this. I enjoyed fast food restaurants. Then, you know, they always said when you turn 40, things change. Well, I'm not as young as I have to work out twice as hard to burn a calorie. The food I put in my body, I feel a difference now. If it's a processed food, if it's a fast food, if it's a fresh food, I've become attuned to that. So I've become more aware of this and heard all these backdoor policies. So it's just sort of the natural evolution of life. Is the first half of your life, you just la-di-da, life is good. Then you start paying for it, and it's just like, all right, I need to make up time. I need to reverse the damage I've done. How do I do it? And, you know, food is thy medicine, period.
Well, see, you don't know. You may still be in the first half of your life, la-di-da, Steve.
I'm somewhere on that cusp.
Like 45 somewhere?
45.
You might live to be 100, so you can still go out and raise hell.
Well, I still am.
Okay.
I just eat better, healthy foods. And healthier, the whole alcohol industry. You ever see what ingredients make up your alcohol? The answer is no. They've lobbied against it. You'll never know if there's food coloring or processed food or GMO foods in your alcohol.
I guess we'll get to the Amaretto discussion another time, huh? How do people get in touch? We have just 30 seconds. With
ManchesterFood.coop is our webpage. You can follow us on Facebook. We've just updated our website again, and we're going to start pushing more information there because we're not sure about the social media thing. You can email the board of directors to info@ManchesterFood.coop. You can call the number on the website. We're always available.
Perfect.
See you next Monday.
Thank you.
Thank you. Food for Thought, Kale and Company up next. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye. Seven.